Well, again, good morning to each and every one of you, and happy Sabbath to you as we gather around the Lord's table to share in the things that he said that we should remember him and specifically his death by, and pray that you'll be blessed this morning. Just before I share a few thoughts on this special communion Sabbath, this women's ministries emphasis Sabbath, Let's bow our heads once more, shall we, and ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, in the quietness of this moment, may you come to us once again in our lives. Cleanse us, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, and give us hope and comfort and courage and peace, all the things that we need to feed off of you and receive you. And bless us this morning, we pray, as we share together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I have my white preaching Bible with me today. And this one I kept unmarked for many, many years, but I've just started to get to the stage where I feel like I need to start marking it up again. And the first two quotes that I put in the front of my Bible, I'd just like to share with you. And I hope this will be your experience this morning and throughout the rest of this week, nay, even the rest of your life. One is a quote by one of our loved forefathers, William Miller, who wrote these words. When he found Jesus as an older man, he said, "The Bible became my delight, and in Jesus I found a friend." Bible became my delight, and in Jesus I found a friend. May that be your experience again this morning. And also one quote from the great Methodist preacher John Wesley, who again, in his early 30s, whilst listening to a passage being read from Luther's commentary to the Book of Romans, mentioned these words. He said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt my heart strangely warmed." And as we gather around the table this morning, may that be your experience too, that in the Bible, may that become your delight, and may in Jesus you find a friend that sticks closer than a brother, a friend that doesn't let you down, a friend who's reliable. I want to gather a few thoughts this morning, just to share briefly about the involvement of women in the ministry of Jesus, and particularly, of course, at the cross and at the tomb. I think we can learn a lot from them and their example. And I want to start today just by having a look at the passage in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. Okay? Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. If you have your iPod or iPad or you have the Bible on your phone, please switch it on, get it going. If you have the pages, we'll then turn there. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. I'll be reading again this morning from the New International Version. I want to ask you a question. How does your version, the one that you're looking at, how does it translate two of the words that we find in verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. The Bible says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness." In verse 36, when Jesus, with divine eyes, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were, what does your version say? In the New International Version, it says, "harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus had compassion on the people he saw who were tired, weary, directionless. New International Version says harassed and helpless. Maybe you had the King James Version where it describes the people as fainted and scattered abroad. Maybe you have the New American Standard Bible where it describes the people as distressed and dispirited. Or maybe you've got one of those more modern, up-to-date ones. The Message Version describes the people as confused and aimless. And for a preacher, whenever you see a disparity of terms like this in different versions, it gets your theological juices going because you can get back into the original language and see what was the ideas that were conveyed there. In Greek simply says the people were dejected, discouraged, disheartened, low in spirits, or depressed in spirits. And then the second term, it says that the people were thrown down, cast down, like cast down, thrown down on the ground, like animals. That's why the gospel writer goes on to say, like sheep without a shepherd. Do you feel dejected and thrown down this morning? Well, I can tell you that you're in the right place because Jesus is here to meet with us, to lift your spirits, and to encourage you, to treat you like a human being again with dignity and respect and with great love. Can you identify with the words we've just analyzed? Some good news today, friends, because Jesus is a compassionate Savior today, July 13, 2013. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, welcome to the service this morning. Welcome to the table this morning as we have a few quick insights from women who were integrally, is that a word? Integrally involved in the ministry of Jesus. I flubbed up there, didn't I, again? They were enmeshed in the ministry of Jesus. Yes, Jesus chose 12 men to be his disciples and to be the early church leaders. But Jesus' ministry was not limited to men. Amen. Turn with me, your Bibles, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to have a look through here. A wonderful passage that Luke gives us into the insight of the ministry of Jesus and the involvement of women therein. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, tells us that women were both the recipients of and the supporters of Jesus' ministry. And whether you're a female here in our audience today, or whether you're a male here in our audience today, you also can be the recipient of and a supporter of the ministry of Jesus. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. The context here is that Jesus has just forgiven the sins. Forgiven the sins of a sinner. He said these words in the end of chapter 7, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Picking up chapter 8, verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured or healed of evil spirits and various diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Interesting. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So in Jesus' ministry here on earth, women were with him and women supported him. There are some interesting contrasts. Whoops. Many of these women had been healed by him of evil spirits and diseases, and they were with him. And so, out of the natural gratitude of the heart, these women supported Jesus' ministry with their time and with their treasures. We have three women specifically named. Mary, called Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. She's a very well-known gospel character, mentioned more times than some of Jesus' own disciples, 12 times. The gospel writers refer to Mary Magdalene. She was also known as Mary from Magdala, which was a small town on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. And we know from the gospel record that Jesus had cast out 7 demons from her life. And I suggest to you that that wasn't just all at one go. That was time after time after time after time. So if you're struggling here with a problem that's recurring in your life, God has helped you once before, but you've slipped again, take courage. Get back up again. The same Jesus, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is here this morning to look at you compassionately and to help you with whatever you're struggling with. Another interesting character mentioned here is someone called Joanna, the wife of Cusa, King Herod's household manager. This lets us know, friends, that the ministry of Jesus reaches up to high places. Herod's business manager, or Herod's household manager, Cusa, was the husband of Joanna. Joanna is also mentioned in Luke chapter 24, verse 10, at the tomb of Jesus as well. And then there's another lady mentioned here as well, Susanna. We're not exactly sure who she is, and so I'm not going to conjecture here this morning. But these three women, Mary, Joanna, and Susanna, are specifically named. Maybe they were well-known figures in the early church that Matthew's audience, Luke's audience, could relate to. And many others. These women were here as trophies of Jesus' loving ministry, and they were there to support Jesus' ministry and to be with him. Our scripture reading was John 19, verse 25, and I'd just like to read through that verse once more as well. John 19, verse 25. This is John's narrative on the crucifixion. And he's just described Jesus' clothes being divided, ripped apart into 4 shares. And so people conjecture that there was 4 soldiers here that were directly involved in the crucifixion of Jesus, 4 Roman soldiers. But in verse 25, it says this, it lists 4 women. Again, it says, near the cross of Jesus, in the New International Version, beside the cross of Jesus. Anyway, whatever we know from this, these women were close by at Calvary. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Mercy, if that was your son or your daughter there, would you be able to stand? Goodness me. Women are strong, aren't they? Women are strong. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When the men had fled, the women had stayed. They were there at Calvary, near the cross, beside the cross. And that's something that we can do this morning as well, both women and men. Get close to Calvary and close to the cross. It's there that you see the love of God in all of its wonderful fullness and manifestation. The cross of Christ. But who were these four women that John lists? Mary, 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 and Mary's sister. That's who they were. Mary's sister. But my attention this week, as I was diving around in this passage, was to try and find out maybe who was this unnamed person that's just labeled as Mary's sister. And maybe if you've got a few moments this afternoon and you want to have a dig into the Word, see if you can come up and find out and reconcile the gospel passages on who was there actually at the cross and find out maybe who that unnamed person, Mary's sister, was. If you go to Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel, you may also have a clue or an insight into who this unnamed woman was. And just follow my logic here just for 2 minutes. So, who was this unnamed woman at the cross of Christ? The sister of Mary. Well, we know that. So that's Jesus' aunt. But perhaps she is the one named Salome in Mark 15, verse 40. And perhaps she is also the one named the mother of Zebedee's sons in Matthew 27, 56. This is a little bit of conjecture, but if this is the case, then the unnamed woman near the cross in John is none other than the beloved disciple John's own mother. This would mean that the disciples, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were in reality Jesus' own cousins, as their mothers were sisters. And this would be typical of John in his gospel to make no mention by name of himself or his brother or his mother. Beloved disciple John was one of the men that was there at the cross, who maybe felt the splattering of that most precious, most expensive commodity that this world has ever seen or will ever see. Blood, divine Son of God, shed upon him. So women were actively involved as the recipients of the ministry of Jesus and supporters of the ministry of Jesus. We can see quite clearly here as well that women were at the cross. We also can see that women were at the tomb. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12. To read Luke's account here of the resurrection morning. Of course, John, in his gospel record of the resurrection, focuses solely on Mary Magdalene as the one to whom Jesus first appeared when he had risen from the dead. But the other gospel writers record that Mary certainly was not alone. Luke 24, going to read through verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They had been up late the night before, and they were up early the next morning, and many women of small children, I'm sure, can relate to that part. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two angels in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them, and in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. Verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Verse 11. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. So this is a rebuke, isn't it, to us men sometimes, to take seriously the voices of the women that are around us, for God was sending a message to his discouraged, frightened male disciples through the words of the women. Jesus has risen again. There's hope. New day is dawning. Now, there are some interesting contrasts that can be made. I was thinking about this during the week. Now, hear me out here. There's some interesting contrasts, I think, that can be made between Mary Magdalene at the tomb and the first female Bible character, Adam's wife, Eve. I'm going to conclude today with just a comparison between these two women. Eve was the first person to touch and to taste the fruit of the forbidden tree in a garden. Mary Magdalene was the first to touch and sense the fruit of the crucifixion tree, the newly resurrected Jesus, also in a garden. Eve stood by the tree. Mary stood by the tomb. Eve took down her man, Adam, but Mary attempted to lift up the spirits of Jesus' men, the disciples. Eve ate and then cried. But Mary cried and then rejoiced. Eve wanted to get away from her Creator, but Mary wanted to hold on to her Lord. Eve thought she'd be elevated through her experience, but she was disappointed. Mary was disappointed in her experience, but after seeing Jesus, was elevated. Eve was deceived by the serpent, but Mary believed in God. Eve ran away and hid, but Mary ran away and told. Eve lost her light, but Mary saw the light. And so as we come to the communion table and this special service this morning, where we remember and proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes, may we remember and follow, all of us, male or female, the example that we find in the gospel records of the women who were the grateful recipients of the ministry of Jesus and supporters of the ministry of Jesus, who were there standing at the cross and who were also there at the time of the resurrection and the tomb. May God bless you as you again partake of these elements and go through what we call the ordinance of humility, where we graciously serve one another and wash each other's feet, following the words that Jesus told us to do in John 13.